Good evening, Guna Nation. We're back. It's the afternoon, evening, morning, no matter where you are, after the night before. You know what we're talking about. But this is Back to the Lockdown series, and it's episode 11. You'll like this one. You'll like it a lot. KC, my brother from another mother, welcome back to the show.
Back. Hi, Soph. I'm back. I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to this one. I think this one's going to be an interesting one.
We're looking forward to it too. May I just put Barry's comment up because it's very adorable. Let's just move on now from yesterday. Hilarious.
Barry, oh, you keep it out, right?
That was a fiery show. There is one thing I'd like to say. Listen, everyone, get over my dogs barking. They bark for a few minutes. They do it every now and again. They were excited to see their friend who was sick and came over to visit them. If you can put up with screaming children on an aeroplane, you could put up with the dogs barking for a few minutes. And Vinny Vieira is going to voice his opinions about the Arsenal. Right,
that's
Casey?
Right. That is so, 100%.
Right. So let's move on. Listen, we're a family, and you're right, Newman. Even the dogs disagree with you. Great show last night. We're back today with our lockdown series. And these are the kinds of episodes we love. Right, Casey?
100%.
We've got quite a few to go through. So what I thought we could do is start off with playing PG's first because she's not here. Then I could do my list and yours. And then we can have a little chat about it. And then we've got a ton to go through as well. We've got Gavin from She Wore, who's our guest tomorrow night, is sent is. We've got Dan from Same Old Arsenal. And we've got a ton on Twitter as well. So let's start with this one first. You guys ready? Here we go.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Hybrid Squad tonight. Unfortunately, I can't be on, but I will be back soon. So my five top Arsenal underrated players of all time. Let's start with number five. That would be Mr. Kevin Campbell. And the reason I've said this is I do feel he was valued and rated at the time, but definitely was overshadowed by Wrighty. But he did score so many important goals, even though it's killing me to say this. I know I'm being serious. Definitely one of our best players of that time going forward and very, very hardworking. So number five is Kev. Excuse me. Number four, the Romford Pele, Mr. Ray Parlour. Over 450 appearances for us. Definitely developed more when Wenger came in, I feel. Massive hard worker. And I think he had a really, really good work rate as well. And I think he was totally underrated. Number three, one of my all-time favourites, Mr. Paul Davis. Seriously, nearly 450 caps as well for the Gunners. Really surprisingly, when I was looking this up, is that he has got no international caps. Can't believe that. Anyway, one of our best left-footed midfielders. He showed great loyalty to the club and, as we know, had a great right hook. Okay. Number two is someone that's with us now, Edu. Unfortunately, as some of you might remember, he was injured the first season, came back the second season, played a really important part with Vieira in midfield. Vieira and Edu were one of my favourite midfield partnerships, but just knowing that Edu could pick out a pass was just lovely to watch. He was a really, really good player, and I felt he was underrated by us fans. And it changed, really, didn't it? When number one for me, it changed. The reason I'm saying that, it leads into this. It changed for Edu. Excuse me.
What is that with
Gilberto came in now? Gilberto Silva is my number one most underrated player, and even I underrated him at the time. I only realised what we had when he left. He was just wonderful in midfield. He so protected the defence when Vieira went forward. Then he, you know, when Vieira left, he partnered Cesc. For me, without any shadow of a doubt, the best midfielder under Wenger. And as I said, missed when gone. I don't know what you lot are going to say about my choices. There were a few others, but I was only asked for five. So
it is the top five, PG. It is the top five. And I think she wanted to correct herself on one thing, just in case everyone comes after her. Oh, it's gone light. But she wanted to clarify the midfield, saying under Wenger, being specific about...
Yeah, but that's PG, isn't it? Bless her. you know, she had that frog in her throat because I was in there, I think.
I know. She couldn't stand it, Casey. She couldn't stand it. All right, I'm going to give you
good,
my...
It was a good five, though.
It's a good five, and it's interesting that we have a couple of the same players. But yeah. Do we have a couple? All right, here's my five. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number five is Kanu. He came in after Anelka left from Inter. He came in after Anelka left. He came in from Inter Milan. We had a couple of players that came from Italy that were a little, you know, underrated at the time or underperforming. Even Thierry and Dennis when they came from Italy, right? Tsupakov,
right.
They weren't performing that great. Kanu was overshadowed by Henri, who wasn't, okay? But let's not forget, that 15-minute hat-trick against Chelsea was probably, for me, one of the single best. We'll do single best top five performances. That's going to be another show coming up in a few days, everyone, so get ready for that one too. But he came off the bench a lot because Henri was the main man. But when he did come off the bench, he always did it with a smile and he never complained and he always had positive energy. So for me, at number five, Kanu.
Good one.
All right. Number four is Paul Davis. He signed his pro contract in 78, 477 appearances and 17 years at the club, Casey. It's insane. And PG wrote it and we made the same note. He never got called up for England, even though he had one of the sweetest left foots you'll find. He could ping a pass and he created a lot of goals for the Gunners. So for me at number four is Paul Davis.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
This one might surprise a few people. Are you ready?
Ready.
Theo Walcott.
Okay.
I think Theo is one of the most underrated players. 270 appearances, 65 goals. I want to give you a comparison here. My cousin Louis, when we were talking about this the other day, he mentioned this to me and I was like, that's really interesting. Ryan Giggs played 674 times for United and only scored 114 goals. Theo played 270 times for Arsenal and scored 65 goals. We all know what happened to him in the World Cup when he got called up by Sven. He was only 16, 17 years old. He came from Southampton with Gareth Bale. They both went on, you know, to promise the world. Gareth Bale delivered in a lot more ways than Theo, but Theo delivered for the Arsenal. He may not have lived up to those expectations because I think he was always compared to Bale. Always classy, never complained. I loved it when he knew what it meant playing against Spurs. And let's face it, when he was stretchered off and he gestured the score with his fingers, I think everyone knew at that time that he was a true gooner. So for me, at number three, Theo Walcott.
It's a good one. That's a good one. That is a good one. I've got to say, I was there when he done the 2-0.
It was great, right?
Loved it.
Perfect. All right, now you might like this one. And I want to hear what you think after we've given our top five, because it involves you. But it's a tie. You know, I like a tie in my top five.
I know
right?
You like, so you got six. That's what you're telling me. Yeah.
But it's you and Ray Parlour because all I compare you both in so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. Casey, you had 228 appearances for the Gunners, 46 goals. He had 339 appearances, 32 goals. But what I love about the both of you is that you're both recognized hugely by your teammates. How invaluable you were to the team in different games at different points, but throughout an entire season. You played alongside legends, okay? Mm-hmm. And those legends are on this level of legendary, but you guys also played legendary football when you were at the club at the time. And I think that's why you fall into the underrated category, mm-hmm. right? Let's not forget your goal against PSG. Let's not forget about some of the goals that you scored for the Arsenal at pivotal moments. And we're gonna come back to that because I really want you to kind of give us your take on that because this is what underrated means. You and Ray Parlour, for me, in at number two as a tie, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, number one, this might be a surprise to some, but for me, the most underrated, and I think he falls also into the unappreciated category of all time, is Olivier Giroud. 180 appearances, 73 goals, World Cup winner, Scorpion King, Puskás winner. Arsenal fans never understood, some Arsenal fans never understood what he brought to the team. Held the ball up well, just as any other forward has done. Kept Benzema, kept some of the top tier. Think about all the French players of this generation, has kept them out of the team, has become the high scoring French player. I don't know. There was a stat that came out about him a couple of weeks ago in terms of what he's brought to the French football team. More technically gifted than he gets credit for. And let's not forget, in the FA Cup twice, he put Ramsey through for the winner in 2014 and I believe also in 2017. In 2017, he came off the bench and did it. Mm-hmm. So for me, the number one underrated player of all time for the Arsenal is Olivier Giroud.
So, hey, Sophie, I think that's a really good five, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's a really good five because not myself included. I'm talking about Ray Parlour in there as well. Because I've got a few of the players you've got, and I've got a few other players that the Princess has got. I mean, look, we knew Giroud divided opinion when he was at the club anyway. But you can't knock his record. We could do with a bit of it, that record now, to be honest with you. And you know what? I think if somebody like that was at the club, we'd have a different team because at least you could knock it up to somebody. He can get hold of it and he'd be a threat in the box. So
he gives us an option B, doesn't he? And I think that's what he always did. He was always, I don't know who that player is to come off the bench and provide that right now, KC. And no, James, I'm not talking about looks. Stop your nonsense. I'm talking about France because I'm saying that he's underappreciated and yet he's a World Cup winner. And two managers in France have continued to select him up front. And if you know me and you know how I talk about football, I don't talk about looks. I was talking about talent. But
don't
go ahead.
Yeah. Looks don't come into it.
Thank you, Nadine. Absolutely. The second highest. Thank you for giving me that stat right in there. come on, Dan. Are you talking about Giroud? I love how he completely got the blame. This is our list. So, KC, let's go. What's your list? Oh, by the way, can we talk about how you feel about being in our underrated lists?
I don't particularly think I was underrated at Arsenal, if I'm honest with you. But hey, listen, I know I played with some of the greats at Arsenal, but you do need a bit of hard work and you need a bit of complementary players to help the superstars. Because you can't all be superstars, but you could just be stars. So that's fine. I'm a kid off the terraces. I was happy to be playing. I played multiple positions because I didn't care. I just wanted to win. And I wanted the club to win. So, you know, thank you for putting me in. But I'm a fan just like anybody who's in the chat right now, us talking. I was a fan playing, honestly. And Arsenal winning meant more to me than even scoring, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I think that's because, you know, maybe it's more of a those kinds of players deserve the recognition. So, yeah, I mean, legend. This is what I mean. Like, you and Ray Parlour are legends. But, you know, you know what I'm saying. You know where I'm coming from when it comes to that level of legendary. Yeah.
Levels to it. Of course. So, you ready for mine?
I can't wait for yours.
Number five is Steve Bold. The reason why I say Steve Bold at number five is because we all know about the famous back four, back five. Dixon, Winterburn, Adams and Lukic and Seaman at the time got really the plaudits. And Bold just come from Stoke. Could you imagine if somebody got signed from Stoke right now?
Tyrese?
At the back.
Okay.
At the back. What the fan base would be meltdown.
It's
George
true.
Graham went out and got a right back and a centre back. Steve Bold came in. Nobody knew much about him. He's from the championship equivalent. And who was to know him and Tony Adams would form, with the two fullbacks, the best defence the league had ever seen in the Football League and the Premier League. You know, they were incredible. They were incredible. So I think Boldy was so underrated. And do you remember the corner routine that nobody could stop?
Yeah.
You dink it into the near post, Steve Bold will get some of that little bit of hair he's got on top to touch it on, and Tony Adams will come in at the back post. Nobody could work it out. It was amazing. So I think he's one of the he's my fifth underrated player.
All right.
Number four is Pops Paul Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, look, not only is it personal to me that he was the father figure, we all, Rocky, Mickey Thomas, Gus, we all called him Pops. Everybody, all the players called him Pops, to be honest, because he was just a quiet, talented player. He's one of those left-footed players in the midfield who had the elegance, Sophie, but he always looks like he had more time than anybody else on the ball. And you try and rush him and he'll just take his time and he'll manipulate the ball. Wonderful left foot, great vision. Mm. And, you know, a lot of, after he done his discrepancy against Glenn Cockerill, he was out for a long, long time. Mm. And he suffered quite a few injuries. And the best thing that happened to him was, you remember in the Cup Winners' Cup final, Paul Davis and Ian Selly played in the centre midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they weren't our chosen ones to start. John Jensen weren't there and other people weren't there. But what a performance from Pops. What a performance from Ian Selly. Paul Davis was...
Ian Selly, there's a name. Yeah. Wow, yeah.
I mean, I could have added Sells in there, but he was young at the time. Mm-hmm. But Paul Davis, what he'd done for the football club, his longevity at the football club, and then went on to coach as well at the football club. So underrated. It's unbelievable.
Casey, do you feel like he was the Vieira before that generation saw Vieira play? Just because you mentioned the time it felt like he had on the ball, and he felt sometimes when you thought he lost the ball, he still had the ball. It was like glue to his feet.
Yeah, glue foot.
It's amazing.
Well, he's obviously a different player than Vieira, but I know what you mean. In possession of the ball.
Yes, elegant. They had this similar build, didn't they? Very long legs.
Very
and the
wiry.
Slight,
and, very wiry and, you know, very technically gifted. One was a right footer, one was a left footer, and they just made it look easy.
Yeah.
That's how good they were. They made it look easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul Davis had to be number four, my second choice. So I'm going to go to number three.
Hotting up now.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Gilberto. And the reason why I go for Gilberto is because we mentioned Vieira, you mentioned your Davis and all that. When Gilberto wasn't there, it's over a decade that we missed a player like him.
Mm-hmm.
We tried all sorts to try and replace somebody who can just do that job efficiently. But you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And he was absolutely sensational. Never said boo to a goose. Put his foot in. Controlled that midfield and protected the two centre-halves expertly. Let the others play and was happy to see them go and do well, whereas he kept the back door shut. And, you know, you don't really understand how good he was, like I say, until he wasn't there. And when he wasn't there, oh, how badly we missed him.
And what a top shelf, classy human being Gilberto is. He's done a lot of commentary here in the States, and he's just a super, super smooth, awesome guy. And you're right, you know, certain players, Casey, you just don't know what you have until they're gone. And he was an unsung hero for sure.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. And we know there's other players in there who have done great. But Gilberto, wow, incredible, absolutely incredible. Let me move on.
Right.
Because number two is the Romford Pele, Ray Parler. I think I've seen that kid grow from a wee nipper who's always looked older than he is. You know what I mean? Even when he was a schoolboy, he looked like he was about 20.
He still looks. You two have never aged, I'm telling you. I want what you're drinking.
Listen, his longevity at Arsenal has been fantastic. And you know what as well, Soph? For a homegrown player like that to hold his own in the Invincibles,
yeah,
I think it is testimony to Ray Parler's quality. He had an engine. He could get up and down the pitch. He was fantastic. He never looked out of place with all those world stars that were in that team. He never looked out of place. And that's why, you know, the Romford Pele gets his name. He's come in. He does that. Does his thing. Scored some vital goals as well. And help the Invincibles go unbeaten all season. And he's one of our own. He's a homegrown. So I've got to get one of the homegrown boys in. And it's got to be Ray Parler.
And for me, people like you and Ray and Paul should have played for England more. You know what I mean? Because that's a whole other conversation. That's another show.
Well,
just know.
We could get onto that.
Yeah, we will.
So here's my number one. And for me, I swear to you, this guy was so underrated. Some of you won't know him. Some of you will. And that is a guy called Kevin Richardson.
Oh, my gosh.
Kevin Richardson in the 1988-89 season when Arsenal had to go to Anfield to win. Kevin Richardson that season was absolutely outstanding as a midfielder. He'd been at Everton. He'd been involved in title wins at Everton, but he was kind of a substitute. Filled in whenever Reedy or Bracewell got injured, or he could play virtually anywhere. Comes to Arsenal, and he became a fixture in that team. Why? Because you know what? All he ever done, he'd tackle anything, he'd get stuck in, and he would moan. But that was his leadership qualities, Sophie. Mm-hmm. He was another leader. You got it from Tony Adams. You definitely got it from Richo in the midfield. And if anybody gets an opportunity to watch the 89 Anfield video again, just look at the way Kevin Richardson gets stuck into that Liverpool midfield. Just watch the way. Him, Mickey Thomas, Rocky, they're all giving it that. They're getting stuck in. There's tackles. And remember, Sophie, John Barnes picks the ball up with a minute to go and he's going in the corner. And Kevin Richardson had just been injured. And he finds it from somewhere, goes over and robs the ball of John Barnes, gets it to Lukic. Lukic to Dixon to... Well, the rest is history, isn't it?
But I love that.
That's my five, darling.
Yeah, he made Danny's five as well. And a lot of players, I think even in the 89 movie, the boys, I don't know if it's in the bonus features or what, but they talk about him and... Yeah. You know, a player like him, I think, goes unnoticed. Again, in a moment of euphoria and when a team's doing well, these unsung heroes become the underrated heroes, but they are the nucleus, the engine of a team, aren't they? And then, you know, there's this one too. Don't forget, it's thanks to Richo getting cramped that got us the extra few minutes.
Exactly.
to score.
And he still had to rob John Barnes. Well said. Well said. Well said. Do you know, and these players, Sophie, in the dressing room are appreciated by everybody because the players understand what they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sometimes the fans don't see it because they're not maybe pros or don't understand it as much.
Right.
You know, the little intricacies of the game that makes everybody else a little bit better. But Kevin Richardson was one of those players. He made everybody better.
He certainly did. That's a great top five, KC. Let us know what you think about KC's top five. They're coming in thick and fast here. It's the Lockdown Series, episode 11, our most underrated Arsenal players of all time. Once again, we've got the chat lit, but for totally different reasons tonight. And I'm going to read the ones on Twitter as well. And I've been putting your guys' up, but we'll get back to them. So throw in any comments you have about KC's too. Now, James, who seems to be on fire tonight, making all sorts of points. Here we go. Disappointed Will Todd hasn't been mentioned, but I have him right here for you. So our guest tomorrow night on the show is from She War, who creates some amazing swag, Arsenal swag, an awesome Arsenal fan, a Generation Xer Arsenal fan. Here's his top five list. We're going to be talking to him tomorrow about a whole bunch of things, including the quiz book he's written. Number, I'm going to go 5-1. Number five, Stevie Williams, KC.
Good player, yes. Willow was a very, very good player.
Okay, and you can help validate this one. Those who watched him week in, week out, loved his passion and aggressive nature, but often overlooked by those who didn't. Players like that, that just don't get the recognition. Now, I like his list. It's a little bit different. Number four is Nigel Winterburn. Nigel doesn't get as much love as Dixon. This is true, right?
Do you think he does. Those two come as a pair.
I think because Dixon's in the media, he gets a little bit more love than Nigel right now. And Gavin says, very underrated when he came to England caps, but never let us down. Now, number three is Paul Davis. Right. He said he was underrated and often, and this happened a lot in the 80s, and he means this with total respect, he was a boo boy victim. He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, right? He was, yeah.
But what Gavin's saying, he was a role model for all the younger black players at the club coming through. And I think you can vouch for that one too, KC.
100%. That's why the maximum respect. That's why we all called him Pops.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the white players called him Pops because he was like the old granddad, you know. He was just chilled out. Nothing ever really bothered him, you know, bar a Glenn Cockerell, I suppose.
I love it. Now, number two, this is an interesting one, I thought, because I never thought of him as underrated, but maybe Gavin added him to the list because of the number of years he played for the club, is Emmanuel Petit. The yin to Vieira's yang and the perfect midfield duo, often overlooked for his part in our greatest sides. Interesting one.
Greatest side? Well, the greatest side has got to be the invincible side. That's the greatest side.
Or the 89 side, you could argue.
Yeah, you could argue that. But Emmanuel Petit was a very good player. I don't think he was underrated because I think him and Vieira made such a massive difference to that team when they were playing.
Yeah. Okay, here's his number one as I'm trying to pull up comments as well. Number one, there you go, James, you'll be happy, is Viltord. Never gets the full credit he deserves, often played out of position, which is true. He sacrificed a lot for the team, a little bit like Lacazette, but, you know, scored some very important goals. What do you think about Will Todd?
I thought Will Todd was a very good player. You know, when it was probably your best 11, Will Todd wouldn't play.
Mm.
But he was dependable. You could always depend on him. He'll always put a shift in. He'll always get you a goal when you needed it. And you know what else? He was another one of those French players who would get stuck in. He wasn't one of these shrinking violets. He'll get stuck in. He wouldn't mess around. So, yeah, listen, I've got nothing against that. Everybody's five is valid.
It is. We're getting a lot of comments about putting you in the underrated list as well, KC. I love it. It's fantastic. All right, we're going to move on to another one here, KC. We're going to do our very good friend Dan from the same old Arsenal. Top five, okay. Number five is Laurent.
I like that. That's a good one. Laurent, yeah, one of the Invincibles as well. Very, very good player.
Can anyone in the Invincibles side really, truly be considered underrated? Well, I guess we put Parler in our list, so
yeah,
yes.
We put Parler. That's true. Laurent, yeah. Obviously.
He's got another one.
Yeah, well, and Will Todd obviously is there.
Yep.
You said Kanu. I'm sure he was part of the squad.
Well, there's
wasn't
a few
he?
Actually from all of us, which is, I guess, my question is rhetorical a little bit in that you're in the greatest team maybe ever, and you're underrated. But you know, hell, me and PG put you in our list, so that tells you a lot. Number four is Adu.
Yeah, that's again. PG had him in. Yeah. Very, very, very good player at Arsenal, and. Do you know what? Probably weren't as lauded as your Vieiras, etc. But he was a fine player. Player and scored some fine goals.
We also have at number three, I had him on my list, is Olivier Giroud. And also at number two, Dan has Ray Parler. And at number one is Gilberto.
Right. Yeah.
So
can't go wrong with that one, Dan. Can't go wrong with that.
That's Dan's list. And then I was talking back and forth with my my cousin Louis. So I'm gonna put his out. He had Paul Davis, Anders Limpar.
Do you know, I was thinking of Anders Limpar as well, you know, Sophie. Uh-huh. I've got to say I was, because when he came to the club, he added a different dimension to what we'd done, Anders Limpar. And I still don't think he got... Look, he kind of left the club, just left, and went to Everton and done bits for Everton and helped them win the FA Cup in 95 against United. But I don't think he got the credit he deserved at Arsenal. He was a sensational player. Both-footed, could play anywhere across that front line. You know, the super Swede, you know, underrated, underappreciated maybe.
Yeah.
You know, as well.
And I think at the time, you remember those flair flank players? Like, he just had this way with the ball. And we saw it again later on, a few years later, with Overmars, right? They could be, I don't know if the two can be completely compared, but I think Anders Limpar bought this, again, someone who played with pure joy, you know, always positive. And he just had this burst of pace that you didn't expect. I agree with you, Barry. You just mentioned that too. All right, now this one might get everyone going.
Hold on, let me just say this.
Yeah.
Anders Limpar, when he first came to the club, the first training session we ever had, he came over, I think we were in Denmark or something, and he came over, and in his first training session, this is no word of a lie, he was up against Tony Adams and Boldy.
And bless him.
And the things he'd done to them, right, everybody was like, he ripped them to shreds. He seriously did. He ripped them to shreds.
Breaking ankles. Was he breaking ankles?
He was unbelievable. He twisted the blood. And I was like, wow. And one thing about Anders, he could always pick a pass as well. He could always pick a pass. And he set me up on a good few goals. So I don't mind Anders Limpar being in that list.
Yeah, I don't mind either. Musa, we're going to get to your list because you have Shamak on it, and that's going to require you taking a timeout in the corner for at least 30 minutes.
Face the wall.
Face the wall. So this one for Louis, he goes, it's my list and my rules. Lord Bentner, one goal every four games and buried the vermin with his first touch. Hence why Lord Bentner makes Louis's list. Interesting. What a character. I think a player, Casey, that if he'd have just curbed his off-the-field shenanigans, could have been something quite, quite special, really, when you think about it. He had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he did. He had it. But, you know, football isn't just about what you do on the pitch. It's what you do off it, isn't it? And you have to prepare right. You have to do the right things. And unfortunately, Bentner liked a bit of the bright lights a little bit too much.
Yeah, he did. He also has Ray Parler. He said that Ray was criminally underrated by opposing fans, but the most underrated and disrespected of all time, he thinks, is Theo Walcott. Utter disrespect from fans. And I won't read the last line because it's not safe for radio, but I had
Don't
him on
you
my...
beep it.
Maybe later I'll tell you what he said. But I had him on my list too.
Yes.
You know, I think he's a little bit underrated. Right, we're going to go to Twitter and read some off real quick as well, because there's quite a few on here. Let's see what we've got. We've got, okay, Duncan Knapp on Twitter. Thank you so much for writing in, Duncan. He has Ray Parler, Steve Williams, Viv Anderson.
Good one.
Pat
Good
Rice one. And Gilberto Silva. Viv Anderson... Maybe Viv is more recognised for his time at Forest than he is at Arsenal. What do you think?
Yeah, but I still don't think he was underrated because he was England's right back. You know, he was playing international football and obviously done great at Forest, came to Arsenal, was playing for England and doing bits. He was incredible. So, and maybe a bit underappreciated, was part of that 1987
Yeah.
League Cup winning team as well. So, yeah, I don't think he was one of our big players. He was one side, and remember, Kenny Sansom was the other. Two England fullbacks for Arsenal.
Yeah. I just got a little note from Louis saying there's no parental guidance needed on my last comment about...
Go on, Louis. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I'm going to let him tell you instead. How about
All right.
That? Okay, we've got one from Grant, at Grant Rich on Twitter. Thanks again for taking the time out of your day to share your thoughts with us. Gilberto. Oh, I like this one. His name hasn't come up yet. Bakary Sagna.
He was a very good stalwart. He was loyal. He was loyal to Arsenal. In the end, he had to leave because, he was loyal for many a year when we weren't really doing much. Mm-hmm. You know, he was loyal. So, fair enough, he got up. Did he leave with 1 year to go, or did he get to the end of his contract? Whatever. He left anyway and went to City, but that's fair enough. But that's a good one. I like that. He was a good player.
He has another one on his list after this one. Grant also has Ray Parlour. He also has Alex Manninger. Awesome when Seaman was injured during the 97-98 season. And he also wrapped his five up with Laurent. But Manninger, that's an interesting one.
Very interesting. But again, Sophie, everybody's choices are valid. Whether we agree or we don't.
Yeah, they're their choices.
They are valid. That's their choices. So that's fair enough, Grant. Yeah. You know.
I'll read James's because he also sent them on Twitter. He has Perez at I'll do them reverse. Torre at 5, despite invincible, never mentioned. Clichy at 4, wasn't too far behind Cole and never really spoken about. Will Tord at 3, so many important goals, work rate unreal. Gilberto at 2, was missed so much when he wasn't playing. And at number 1, Perez. In Premier League, he's not highly rated enough. And I can see why he's saying that. And Perez probably isn't making a lot of people's lists because, you know, people kind of, he gets a little bit more press. But when you think about some of the greats that they talk about, maybe not as mentioned as much. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Do you know the funny thing, Soph? It's because there were so many good players in that team.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that team and it was littered with quality.
Yeah.
You know, you had Pires on one side, Lundberg on the other side. You know, you had Bergkamp and Henri up top. You had Vieira in the midfield. You had Adams and Campbell and all those guys at the back. It's unfortunately, everybody can't have the same hype. But I can tell you this much, Robert Pires wasn't underappreciated and he wasn't underrated in that side. Maybe he doesn't get the same press as the bigger players, so-called, but the Lorenz of this world and stuff got even less.
Okay, so here's one from Matt Tuck, Tucky Talkies on Twitter. Thanks again for contributing. He has Adu, Wiltord, Flamini, Giroud, and here's one for everyone, and I'm going to explain exactly why. Alexis Sanchez. I think maybe underrated. He goes in another list than underrated for me. But he's saying, I'm saying Sanchez because for me, hands down, the best player of the Emirates era and the last Arsenal player I had true adoration for. Aubameyang now comes close. I just don't get the feeling Sanchez gets the love he should from some of the fan base. Well, that's maybe because in the manner in which he left the club. Interesting that Sanchez, I don't think Sanchez is underrated by most fans. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think he's underrated, but I understand where he's coming from because there's a lot of Arsenal fans have a bit of vitriol for Sanchez. And it's not because of the way he played, obviously. It's because of the way he left and where he went as well. Going to Manchester United, you know. It was painful for a lot of Arsenal fans because he was a world-class player. He was world-class at Arsenal. And on his own, he could rip teams apart, you know, Arsenal attack at the time. You know, Sophie, we could do with a Sanchez now, couldn't we?
We could. We certainly could. Okay, I have another one here, a very good friend of the show, Alan from Betway. We love Alan. Good evening, Alan. Thanks for contributing your top five as well. He has Wiltord, someone that hasn't made the list yet. Jose Antonio Reyes.
Yeah,
God rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Alan Smith.
Smudge up, very underrated. But do you know what? There's players, more players who are more underrated than Smudge. Smudge is a Golden Boot winner, you know, a double league winner, FA Cup double cup winners. He's done bits, Smudger. He has done bits. Yeah.
I mean, how important was he in that famous win as well? You'll like this one, Laurent. And to wrap up his top five, Super Kevin Campbell. So it's funny that Alan, myself, and Amanda are on the same page about that. So we love that. And I think for the same reasons. FIFA boy Darren, a big fan and a supporter of the show.
Hi, Dazza.
Here we go with Dazzers. Number five, Lee Dixon. He's not only my hero, but was the best right back ever. Number four, Elneny. Ooh. All right, D, we'll take it. Great skill and creative. Number three, this is an interesting one. Again, I think sometimes we look at tenure at the club. For some people, he's probably the most exciting young player that's ever played. And for some, you know, vilified because of the way he left again. Nicolas Anelka scored some of the most amazing goals in the 90s through his childhood. A generational.
Do you think he was underrated?
I don't think he was underrated.
No. I'm saying Dazza. Was underrated, Dazza? I thought he was rated very highly. And that's why it still hurts a few Arsenal fans, because he left when he was so young.
Yeah. Yeah, he left, and we know why he left, because it was a pattern for the rest of his career, right? Yeah. So, yeah, we'll leave that one at that. Number two, same as you, he has Stevie Bold being one of the strong back four. And at number one, a name that hasn't come up, and he's pissed off a few Arsenal fans over the years because some of his comments on Sky Sports, but he has Paul Merson.
Paul Merson was a top, top Arsenal player, Dazza. And hey, if you think he was underrated, fair enough, mate. Listen, it's your opinion. But I think Merce was a super player.
Super player. We'll try and get to some in the chat as well. Thank you, Anthony. We adore you too, and as does Super Kevin Campbell. We love that you guys are all choosing and tuning in and stuff like that. Let's get some of these older ones, that some of the guys that you may know. Martin Hayes and Ian Allison.
Martin Hayes scored in that season, 89. Martin Hayes got 20-something goals.
Martin Hayes was really quiet. He did some.
It was the season before he got 20-something goals. And in the season of the league title at 89, I think he got one goal that season. And it was away win at Middlesbrough. And Martin Hayes got the winner. So it just goes to show it's important. These guys are important, but very underrated.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at some of the players that have played for the Arsenal over the years, this just shows you there's always those that are in the limelight. But wow, we've been so... This is why we're all so upset.
We've been spoiled.
This is why we all don't like this era of Arsenal player, because we've been so spoiled, Casey.
Sophie, Jonathan Porter, Ian Allenson. Do you remember Ian Allenson scoring that equaliser at White Hart Lane?
White Hart Lane, yeah.
And then Rocky getting the winner.
Yeah, get in. Yes. Stuff them. what about this from Pramod, one of our favourites? This is a good shout-out. Monreal, I thought he was a really special player and the kind that we would love in this team right now, Casey, not because he's better than Tierney by any stretch of the imagination, but the leadership, the classiness, you know, the quality that he showed.
Yes, he's definitely had a value amid that dressing room, especially as a senior player. He never really let anybody down, did he?
No, he
always
didn't.
He always done his job. And he popped up with a couple of very important goals as well, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I think that's a good shout, Pramod, definitely.
Okay, so Casey, just repeat your five for me real quick, and then everyone gets another 5 or 8 minutes here. We're doing our top five underrated Arsenal players of all time. You can keep your thoughts and comments coming in all week if you feel like changing up your list. We're going to try and rifle through as many of these as we can. Get Casey to do his five again, and if you have anything you want to add before the end of the show, throw it in quickly. Top five, Casey, real quick.
Was Steve Bold, Paul Davis, Gilberto, Ray Parler, Kevin Richardson.
I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think about Flamini?
I thought he was a very good player. I thought he was a good player, but maybe just wasn't the the level of some of these guys who we're discussing now. I thought he'd done a great job for Arsenal, don't get me wrong. But I just think it's a hard job to follow Vieira and Gilberto, I think. Very hard.
Yeah, very hard. What do you think about Ricks, Van Bronckhorst?
Yeah, Van Bronckhorst was a decent player as well. But I don't think he'd be classed in that same echelon as half of these players who we've mentioned. But he was a good servant to Arsenal.
Another added list that Pramod pulled, because I wanted to pull this one up, Arshavin. Do you think Arshavin was underrated? I think fans loved him, a little bit like Podolski. They had that bravado about them that fans really loved and got stuck into. But do you think Arshavin was overrated?
Underrated, you mean?
Underrated.
No. I don't think he was overrated, and I don't think he was underrated. I think the fans actually loved the way he played, the way he could score. And I mean, he proved it, didn't he, that he could score at Anfield, you know, scoring four. And the way he celebrated, giving it all that, it was unbelievable.
That was the best.
So there's some iconic moments for this man.
Yeah.
And he's in Arsenal folklore. So I don't think, I understand, yeah, you can put him in if you think he was underrated. But for me, I think he's got some iconic moments that blows that underrated thing out the water.
Yeah, me too. Red Gilly brings someone up. I mean, what a legend, Armstrong, because we're really good friends with his daughter, Jill. Hello to Jill, and big up to her and her family.
Lovely, lovely, Jill.
The new generation just don't know what a legend this guy is. And KC, maybe you can just tell everyone a little bit about the fact that he was still around the club even after he hung up his boots, and why he truly is a legend that really does maybe come into the underrated list for a certain generation, maybe not for ours.
Now, look, Jordy Armstrong was, even Pat Rice used to say, that guy, you could rely on him. You could, and you know, for a guy like Pat Rice to say that, when he played with him, you could rely on him because you knew what you were going to get. Quality, he beat his man, he was a winger, he was tough. He done his job for the team, he protected his fullback. All the things that we struggle with now, Jordy was excellent at. He could do it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when I joined the club, he wasn't at the club at the time. And then when, I think it was a couple of seasons in, he came to the club.
Correct.
And let me tell you something. Not only was he funny, but he always used to tell us stories about what it was like playing for Arsenal. And you don't realize what club you're in argument with him at times. Say, Jordy, I'm an Arsenal fan. I know what type of club. He says, yeah, but you've known it from the outside. You haven't known it from the inside. And he was right, Sophie. Knowing it from the inside is a totally different kettle of fish. And he helped, you know, that jigsaw that makes a player.
Mm-hmm.
He was instrumental in helping the likes of myself, David Hillier, Ray Parler, Ian Selly, Stephen Morrow, all of us guys come through the ranks at the time to make it to the first team. Very instrumental.
Love that. Love those stories about guys like him and Theo Foley and Pat Rice, and you know what they do for young players and how important they were to players like you coming through, KC. It's just such great stories. What do you think of this one from Anish?
Didn't play enough, did he?
Was he underrated to the point where Wenger sold him?
No, I don't think he was underrated to that point, because I think they rated him. I don't think he got rated by the fans because he never played enough. So a decision had to be made. Remember, Arsene Wenger loaned him out to West Bromwich Albion. He'd done nothing there.
Right.
You know, he went out and about and done nothing. Then as soon as somebody can get hold of these young players, focus them, look at him now. He's world class now. And everybody thinks, why didn't we do it? Because we never had the infrastructure or the development patterns to do it with him.
Hindsight 2020 as well. It's very easy to kind of say those things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to put this back up. I put it back earlier because Anthony wanted to make this point. And mamaybe not a lot of people know the Brian Clough story. There's a phenomenal video on YouTube where Super Kev talks about his encounter with Brian Clough And it's just the greatest story ever, Casey.
Do you know what, Sophie? I had that many run-ins with Brian Clough. But, you know, you have to kind of pick out a story that actually really stands out. And for that to happen at Highbury as well, you know, marble halls and all that, we're just coming out. Don't you effing hurt me, Cap. That's all he kept saying. He just kept saying, don't you, even in the dugout, you know, don't you effing hurt me. And you can imagine, you know, just Stuart Houston and George Graham kept looking around. What's up with him like? You know,
what I know.
Saying, what have I done to him? I've done nothing to him. And he kept looking at me and pointing, don't you hurt me, and sitting down and turning around.
And at the time, though, I mean, he was just, he was the Sir Alex Ferguson of football. I mean, he was the Don. He was the Don.
Of course he was. And do you know what? In the East Lower, a guy used to come and watch us in the youth team called Jim. Mm-hmm. He couldn't stand Cluffy. So I could hear Jim getting up, sit down, Clough, sit down. And Cluffy kept getting up, Campbell, don't you hurt me. And it was all going off. And I was thinking, oh,
so good. It was so crazy. Good. It was so good.
What a story.
Oh,
so
I love
for
it.
Those who want to see it, check out Under the Cosh.
So good. So good. I'm going to squeeze in a few more single ones just because these guys have been talking in chat, but they've brought out a couple of Perry Groves. What do you think about Perry Groves?
Perry Groves was very underrated. And I think Perry Groves was appreciated, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was very underrated because we got him for 50, 60 grand. And he was a member of all of that success and played a pivotal part as well. So, yeah, I'd say he was underrated.
What about, maybe this isn't the one I wanted to bring up, but Lukic. Someone brought up Lukic.
Yeah, I think so. I think, remember that, you're looking at the League Cup win against Liverpool and you're looking at the 89 League win as well. Fantastic, fantastic player. Obviously, Dave Seaman coming, and it's like Lukic never was in the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a vital member of the team. He was very good. And you know what? John Lukic was a lovely guy as well. He was very nice to me. So he was good.
This is another interesting one from Big Gunner D. Grimandi, because there were times, you know, sometimes players make a few mistakes here and there, but... you know, there's a few other Gunner fans in chat that have come and said, you know what? Yes, Grimandi.
Yeah, he had a decent career at Arsenal, and he had some longevity at Arsenal as well. So, yeah, definitely a good choice.
Do you think Rambo's underrated?
No, I don't think Rambo's underrated. I think Rambo is rated and appreciated. I think if Rambo had a better injury record, I think he would be classed as one of the legends, because the stuff that he could do, there ain't a lot of midfielders that could do what he done. So, very good player, though.
Another one for GVB. We also have someone for Laka. We also have someone for... I think Laka's underappreciated.
Underappreciated, yeah.
Yeah. Chleb. I mean, had Chleb stayed... You know, we sold a few players, some players went to Barcelona and their careers were lost. Vermaelen, Chleb, you know, Cesc Fabregas wasn't, you know, he didn't really have a great time at Barcelona. He and Pep actually ended up falling out. But yeah, Chleb was really a bit like Nasri, wasn't he?
Very good player.
Very good player.
Glue foot. Yeah. He had glue feet, didn't he?
Yeah.
His close control was amazing. Was he underrated? I don't think he was. I think people rated him. We just wasn't a great team at that time. That's all.
I'm not sure I'd have Senderos on the list, but Rizicki is someone.
He was a great player. But again, maybe because of his injuries, you know, he suffered quite a few injuries, didn't he, Rizicki? But whenever he played and performed, he was sensational, especially that goal at Spurs, that where he hit that, whoa, that strike in the top corner. Amazing.
This one's an interesting list. Marwood, Vermaelen, Diarra, Vela. I do, a lot of people have said, but four on there that really haven't been mentioned. Marwood might be one that you think.
Marwood was a great player. One who, in 89, if he wasn't injured, Arsenal probably would have won it way before going to the last day. So, okay,
a few more.
The football gods played a game with us.
Squeezing these all in, he wanted to add one more. Graeme Rixey.
Rixey was a very, very good player. I don't think Rixey was underrated because I think Rixey was a class player. But I get your drift, Newman. I get your drift. And if you think he was underrated, fair enough.
What about Billy, who's trying to sign Tyrese for the Rangers? He says Charlie Nicholas.
Billy Blue Boy. Charlie Nicholas. Listen, I don't think Charlie Nicholas was underrated. I think he was the darling of the North Bank and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Champagne Charlie 2.0, of course. There was an original famous Charlie. A couple more. Silvinho has come up for a few. Thought I'd throw up the big gun. He wasn't there. The first Brazilian, I think, to ever sign for the Arsenal was Silvinho. Had an injury. Fair. Yep, that's fair. Stephen Hughes, Andy Linnigan.
Andy Linnigan again, you know, someone who was much maligned by the fans because he was, you know, when Boldy was injured or Tony Adams, he came in and it's difficult to get up to speed. And, you know, he made a couple of mistakes, but for all the chaos, he got that winner in the FA Cup final, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. And,
it was brilliant.
I'm going to rattle through these last few ones. We're going to get it under an hour. This was supposed to be a 35-minute show, but you guys always do this to us. So it's all your fault, but we love it that you love it. You guys create the content along the road with us, and this has been fantastic. Alex Song. I really liked Alex Song. When he was on his heyday, KC, he was pretty good.
Good player. He was a very good player. Very good player.
John Hartson.
I don't think Hartson was – underrated.
I don't like him for many reasons.
I just don't think he started. He played enough games. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean. Obviously, he had a great career at Celtic and West Ham, etc. But I don't think he played enough at Arsenal.
All right, this will be the last one. Do you think that Freddie was underrated? Freddie Ljungberg? I don't think so.
No. But remember, all fives are valid.
So, yes, because they're your fives.
Yes, that's right.
So we end on, you know, James has had his say on this show for sure, but I think he's reading, you know, Highbury Squad Dharmas, because yes, we do want to do this show too. Now, can we do the overrated list? That would be fun for debate. I think it would be.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
We'll do that next week.
But Sof, can I just ask a question about your feelings on Nicolas Pepe apologizing today?
Yes.
Because I think that's a big, big move. What's your thoughts?
Well, as I said something on the show yesterday, because I felt like he did that. I said deliberately, and I meant it and I still mean it, in that he was so petulant, because sometimes when you're upset about something, you set out to do something because you want to prove a point. And I think in that game, he let his emotions get the best of him. He can't do that. But the fact that he's come out and apologized shows he cares. Now, was he forced to do that by management or the PR team? I don't know. But Nicolas Pepe right now is on thin ice, and he knows that he has to impress Arteta. Arteta's had to be convinced by him, Casey. Hmm. So this action, I think, yes, it's good for PR purposes. Whether or not he means it, I don't know. But he had to do it in order... In essence, and I don't mean to be melodramatic when I say this, but to save his Arsenal career, he's not convinced Arteta. He's had to prove himself. Willian is more of a first choice. Arteta mixed it up yesterday. It didn't work. He goes and headbutts a player, loses his mind completely, and costs the team. But at the same time, made it look even worse because the team played better when they had 10 men. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on him coming out and apologising?
My thoughts are that, you know, he's obviously got respect for Arteta that he came out and even apologized, because I'm still waiting for the Guendouzi apology.
That's true.
and remember how long it took Granit Xhaka to apologize. Do you remember after that thing with the fans at the Emirates? It took him a couple of weeks, and maybe he was a bit more justified because his family had been targeted and all that, but you've got to apologize, because Arsenal are your employer and you've got a manager and a team who care for you. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you got to hold your hand up. You've done wrong. I made a mistake, and you got to move on. And I was so pleased that Nicola Pepe came out and said what he said, because he didn't need to do it. He came out and said it, and everyone could move forward past it now. Yeah, we're going to miss him for three games in the league or whatever. But I think that is quite significant in my eyes.
Another really quick one, because this is important too. A big announcement today. I think we'll talk about this more on tomorrow's show as well. But real quick, this is a good start. It's a great start. If we can start anywhere, let's start with any numbers. Just let's get going with this, right, to get fans back in stadiums, KC.
100%. Let's get fans back in. I think it's been long enough now, hasn't it? It's been long enough. And I want fans to be back in because I'm hoping to be doing an Arsenal game in December at the Emirates. So it's always nice when fans are there. So yeah. I'm really hoping that fans could be allowed back in. I know they might start off small, but I would love it if they started off small and then they could ramp up the numbers, you know, not just small and keep it that way, because a lot of Arsenal fans are missing it so much.
Yeah, we're all missing it. And we all want to say thank you so much. There have been so many, and there'll be lots coming through, I'm sure, on the YouTube channel as well. For anyone watching on replay, thank you so much. Thanks to everyone's comments after last night's show. It was definitely a fiery one, and we appreciate you guys getting stuck in with all your comments. Thanks for everyone on Twitter who took their time as well to send their top five. Keep them coming. We'll keep reading them out. We have a whole lockdown series coming up this week. We return tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the evening, again, another nighttime show with Gavin from She Wore. It's going to be great. He's going to be giving away a couple of things too, so you're not going to want to miss that. Some great swag, and he's also written a quiz book for the Arsenal, but with a twist and a bit of a difference. A little bit more like Cards Against Humanity, I think. So that's going to be an interesting one, Casey. And yes, thank you, Danny. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to all of our regulars. Thanks to James. I love it. Keep them coming, all of you. It's okay, Steve. Even if you missed it, you can go and re-listen. We couldn't do the show without you. Without you, there is no show. So keep it coming. Share and like. And we will be back tomorrow. And until then, Super Kev.
Listen, as you all know, it's a tough time, but we love them. So it's always Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners.